just so you know, I love that song. That's one of my favorite. No matter what is going on, we praise and worship God's holy name. Because no matter what's happening on the rest of our life, God is still holy. We still praise him. He is still the Almighty. Amen? Awesome. Well, hey, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm lead pastor here at Grace Community Church. Glad to have you with us today. Just wanted to share something real quick with you. I wanted to let you know that my favorite kind of cheese is nacho cheese. Nacho cheese. That's my best bad dad joke. That's it. That's all I got. So for Father's Day, you're welcome. So glad you could be here today. We're excited to be here. I don't know what's going on. All right. Anyways, glad you could be here. I wanted to give a quick update. I know I had shared a couple weeks ago that I was going through some pain and return of pain in my leg and everything. Just wanted to update you that I have gone and done some treatments that I used to do before, where I go in real quick, they melt my brain, everything's better afterwards. You think I'm joking. But did that treatment. The intensity has come down, which I'm blessing, praising God for and thanking him for. But remembering that no matter what happens, good or bad, we praise God through the good, we praise God through the bad, and we bless him. And if we continue to bring him the glory, then no matter what's going on, it's worth it. Amen? It is. It is. And that's a truth in our life. We can't control anything that happens. We can't control the world around us. But all we can do is control how we react to things and how we act. And so when we control our response to what's going on, the world sees that and God sees that. And it can point people to God as we follow him through every situation. It's an important point for us to remember. We are continuing on in our sermon series called In Transit. And this sermon series is looking at as we go through, sometimes we're in a good time in life, and all of a sudden, it doesn't become such a good time. We're going through struggles, we're going through bad relationships, we're going through addictions, we're going through financial issues, and we're kind of in transit, in between these good times. You sit there and go, how do you deal with it? How do you get through it? Where do you go through this? And as I was preparing the sermon, as I was looking at things, one of the things that I started to think about is sometimes you're in a good situation. You're sitting there going, life's going great. Like everything's kind of clicking along. You feel like you got finance in order. Your family's doing pretty well. Your kids don't hate you too much. Like everything's going pretty well, right? And then you feel like God's calling you to change, calling you to do something. You feel like you're supposed to step out and do something and make a change in your life. And that can be a scary point because you're going, well, everything's going good. I don't know if I really want to change things. And I've had a few moments like that in my life, a few key moments in my life that I thought really were changed my life, but something that I felt God was really leading me to do, even though I didn't quite understand it, and move forward in. A couple of those things for me were when I joined the military. I joined the military. I'd always kind of been interested in the military, but it came at a point in my life where I'm like, I think I'm really going to join the military. I think that's where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do. And it was kind of a scary situation. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew I felt like I was supposed to go into that. And I felt like that's where God was leading me. And coming out of that, I had some injuries and some different things I don't necessarily love. But I felt like God was calling me there, so I would do it again in a heartbeat. And while I was in the military, I met this amazing girl. And I know everyone loves Denise, right? It's the reason you let me be the pastor, because I have Denise by my side. But I met this amazing girl and once again had kind of made a commitment to God saying, God, I'm kind of done. I've been in bad relationships. I'm done with females for a while. I'm just going to focus on you. And he's like, great. I'm glad of that. Here's this girl. Marry her. And I mean, it was about that quick and about that much of a conversation that God's like, good job. Here she is. But it was a step I took that, you know, not really knowing each other. We got married pretty quick. We never really went on a date or anything. We just got married. It was a weekend. Neither of us were busy. So, I mean, we love each other and everything, but it was kind of a quick thing that happened. But it was a step out in faith going, I don't know if this is exactly going to turn out awesome because I feel like I'm really rushing things here. But I feel God's hand in this, so I'm going for it. And I went for it, and I couldn't be happier that God put her in my life, and me and hers, that we have this relationship together. Another one that really sticks out for me is about 5 years ago when I started here at Grace Community Church. I started doing a pastoral apprenticeship program with Bernie, Pastor Bernie Quinn, and started coming in and seeing him once a week, and we would sit down and talk, and I started attending staff meetings, and I was just a volunteer, just doing an apprenticeship with him. And it got to the point where he invited me on staff, and so I came on staff part-time. And I was at this point where I had a flourishing solar business. It was doing really well. I didn't have to work much, and they paid me a lot of money. And it was great. Not much work, lots of money. It was like the ideal job. We loved it. My wife and I owned the business. We were having a great time. And I came to a point where I had to decide, do I walk away from that or keep growing this business? Or do I walk away from it so I can do full-time ministry? It was a tough decision. It really was. Because I felt God calling me into ministry. I felt him saying, this is where you need to be. And so it was tough because I'm like, by doing that, I throw the future into the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I know I'm not going to make nearly as much money. My wife said, I don't love that, but I believe that God has a plan for you, so let's go. And we took a step in faith. And we step forward, going from some of these good times, some of these places where I'm like, we're in a good situation, and not knowing now with that next step, God feeling that call on your heart and going, I'm going to step out in faith, but I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And today, we're going to be talking about stuff like that when you step out in faith without knowing the future. And you put yourself almost in a place of transition. You put yourself in a place of in transit. And I don't know if you guys have felt this also, if you've had this in your life, whether you're sitting there going, we're looking to buy a new house, but we're not sure if that's what we're supposed to do. I'm looking at making the switch to a new job, but it's an unknown. I'm not sure if the money will be there. I'm not sure how the job will work out. Whether it's sitting there going, I'm going looking to be in a new relationship, but I'm scared to move forward, but I feel like this is what's supposed to happen. I feel God, I've been praying and I've been reaching out, and I feel like he's leading me in this direction. Well, these things, these transitions and this transit, it can happen, and we can go through these without really knowing what's going to happen. We can go through it sometimes sitting there going, God, I feel like you're pointing me to go in this direction, but I don't know where it's going to lead. And it's tough because you go, okay, God, he says, step out. And you're like, all right, I'm going to take a step forward. And all of a sudden he's like, great, we're going to now go left. Okay, I'll turn left. Nope, you should turn right. And you're like, okay, I'll turn right. It feels like the old GPS, right, of recalculating. Every time you take a turn, recalculating, recalculating. You're like, God, I don't think this is the plan that I was okay with. It was more, you lead me and show me exactly what happens, and then I'll go. And he's like, great, take a step, recalculate it, and we'll move this way and that way, right? That's kind of how God works. He doesn't say, let me lay out the whole plan before you so that you're comfortable with it. No, he says, do you love me? Do you trust me? Follow me. You don't know where it's going to go, but follow me, trust me, and I will take you where you need to be. And today, we're going to be looking at someone who did just that. We're going to be looking at Abraham. Now, if you know who Abraham is, he's the father, kind of the forefather of the Bible, where God sat there and really spoke into him and made a covenant with him, made a pact with him, and set forth everything that happened forward through his lineage for the nation of Israel, for us, for everyone. This guy was pivotal in God's plan for us. But throughout his life, he didn't really know what was going to happen. He continued to trust God and take a step, even though he didn't know what was going to happen after that. So instead of looking at just one story, we're kind of going to do a bird's eye view of a lot of things that happened in Abraham's life and show kind of where he stepped out in faith. So the first place we're going to be is in Genesis chapter 12. It says this, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Now, the first thing you may say is, wait, the last slide just said Abraham, and right there it says Abram. In case you didn't know, Abram was his name. His name was Abram, and that meant father. And later, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many. And so his name was Abram. It meant father, but he became Abraham, the father of many. God changed it, saying, you will be the father for generations. You will be the father for things that are to come that you can't even understand yet. So Abraham was the father of many. If you look at that verse, real interesting, right at the end of it, one of the most interesting things about that verse, when it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. This is interesting because he didn't say, I want you to go to this land. He said, go to land, and I will show you. Not I already tell you where it's at. I will show you where it's at. I will show you what's going to happen. is a tough thing to do, to step out and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but okay, I'll go. Could you imagine if I came up to you and I said, look, Luke, I want you to know, I didn't talk to Luke about this beforehand, Luke, you sit in the first three rows, you don't know what's going to happen here, Grace, okay? Just a heads up, I don't want to see the first three rows empty next week, okay? But if I said, Luke, listen, I really feel like you're supposed to go. So I want you to pack up your things just enough that you can fit in your car. You can bring your wife and kids. You don't have to, whatever. But you're going to go, and I want you to get in, and you head west. You go. And you're like, where? And I said, yep, just head out. You start going. I'll tell you where it's going to be when you get there. Would you be able to sit there and go, okay, that sounds like a good plan? No, Luke would probably sit there and go, Kelly, can we talk a little more? Right? Can you tell me why? Can you tell me what's going on? Can you tell me what's going to be happening? It's a natural reaction. I don't know what's going to be happening. I don't know what's going on in the future. So tell me. I want to know what's going to happen so I feel a little more comfortable in this situation. I feel like I can plan better. I feel a little more in control. But we're not in control. And when we turn our life over to God, we're even less in control. The beautiful thing is, though, we know who has control, right? If you give your life over to God and you allow him to lead you places, you're putting your trust and your faith in someone that has complete love for you, complete desires for you to do good, things to happen to you because he wants to see you prosper in the ways that he sees are prosperous. So it can be tough to move, but it's easier when you know who you're moving towards and who's leading. And for Abraham, this was a tough thing. Abraham was doing pretty well. His family was doing well. He was originally from this area called Ur of the Chaldees. It was a rich center of commerce. It had lots of trade there. They were doing well. This is a ziggurat that they've made a recreation of where they found all the ruins there and said this is what it would have looked like, this huge ziggurat that was to worship the moon god. The problem is this area, even though it was great in commerce and rich, it was a center for idol worship. It was a place where people came to worship other gods, to worship idols, specifically to worship the moon. And to worship the moon and put their trust in the moon god. And Abraham was called out of this into a new land where he didn't know where he was going to be. Leave it all behind. Leave your people. Leave your father. Leave everything and go. Go and I will show you where. The interesting thing is sometimes God calls us to something. He calls us to a place. But sometimes God calls us away from something. That we're in a situation where it's bad, whether we're in addiction or a bad habit or an ungodly relationship. And God calls us away from that so we can be in a better place with him. And what's scary because you're going, but God, I'm comfortable here. And he goes, I know, but it's not good for you. You need to be here. Trust me, I'll show you where you need to be. It's interesting because that verse of leave your native country, in the King James version, it actually says, get thee out. If you're ever told, get thee out, get out, go. That's a good lesson to learn. If someone says, get thee out, it's probably time to head out. And that's what God said to him, is go away from here, leave here, get away from this. I'm going to show you something better. So this is the first point we can learn from God and Abraham in this situation, is when you're in transit, heed the call of God. When God calls on you, listen. When you're trying to follow where God wants you to be, have open ears. Be in prayer. Listen to what he says. But when he says it, heed the call. If you feel like God's saying, I need to do this, then do this. Take that step in faith, whether you understand what it means or not, whether you know where it will lead or not. And if you're unsure, go to people who can give godly wisdom. Go to people, go to elders, deacons, people in the church who can give godly advice of saying, yes, that lines up with what God says to do, to follow him. But when you're in transit, when you're sitting there and you're going to be going through these tough times, heed the call of God. Listen to what he says. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Remember, you probably won't know where you're going. You won't know where this journey leads. You won't know, but if God calls you, go. Answer it. Listen to him. Will it lead to maybe tough times? I almost guarantee it. Will it make life tougher? Probably. Will God bless you for it? Absolutely. Will he honor you being faithful? 100%. When you hear the call of God on your heart, go. Don't sit there and go, you know, well, if you show me what's going to happen, then I'll go. Don't try and barter with God. Don't say, all right, I'll go and you can be my co-pilot. No, that's not how it works. It's going, God, you are in control. I'm going to go. Without any stipulations, without any caveats, just let's go. And that's what it should be. Our call, when God calls us, it should be, the answer should be, whatever you want, God, because you know what's best in my life. So Abraham took up the call and said, all right, I'm going to go. As we continue in this story and we look along, God talked to him after that and said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That is a big promise from God. I'll make you into a great nation. You will be blessed. People who bless you will be blessed. People who hate you or give you problems, they will be cursed. But all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Not just his family, not just him, not just his nation, but every nation on earth. Well, if you understand, if you looked in the Bible and you looked through genealogies, recognize that from Abraham, you can follow a direct link of descendants all the way to Jesus. And you sit there and go, Jesus, through Jesus, all nations were blessed. Everyone was blessed. And God was talking to him saying, through this process, the nation of Israel will be built up. And then Jesus will come and be able to finish what was started with the entire world. But for Abraham, this one became a little tougher pill to swallow. Because you see, Abraham did not have any kids. So he was sitting there going, I'm not sure how I'm going to bless my family, how you're going to bless them, or bless all the nations on earth. In Genesis 15, it said this, sometime later the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision, said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all the blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. This is one that I sit there and go, I would struggle with a little bit. See, Abram's sitting there going, you keep saying I'm going to be blessed and my family will be blessed and nations will be blessed. I don't even have a kid. I don't even have an heir. How is my life supposed to bless other nations if I don't even have an heir of my own to pass it on to? How is that possible? God said, don't worry, trust me. It will. And Abraham said, then I will trust you. And he put his faith in God. And that faith counted him as righteous in his sight. Because he believed God and believed that he had what was best for him and believed the words of God. And this is our second point. When you're in transit, believe the promises of God. Everything else in this world can fade away and will fade away. But the promises of God are true and they always will be. So these are some of the promises of God we can find in the Bible. I am always with you. It's a promise that God gives us. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise that is given to us. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God gives strength to the weary, increases power to the weak. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Those are promises given to us. Hold fast to them. Hold fast. No matter what storm in life, do you know where that term hold fast comes from? It's a military, Navy term. When you're on a boat and it's throwing around everywhere and you hold fast to that rope so you don't get kicked out of the ship during a storm. Hold fast to the promises of God. When you're in the storms of this life, when you're in transit, hold tight to them. Hold fast. Believe in the promises of God. And believe them because He hears you when you're going through these things. He hears your call. He hears you talking to Him. He loves you. He loves you and wants to see you prosper. He cares about your situation. He cares what you're going through. And He will never leave you. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter how many tough times, what difficult situation, He will never leave you. He will be by your side through all things. He will protect you. He will love you. If you heed His call, if you believe in Him, then you can believe in the promises of God. So as we see Abraham having faith in what God's saying to him, as we see Abraham believing in God, believing these promises, we see him go to another place where God is talking to him, a story later where God says, listen, I want to set up a new covenant with you. I want to set up an agreement together. So what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to take and you're going to set up a sacrifice. You're going to take this sacrifice. You're going to put it on an altar. You're going to take these animals. You're going to sacrifice them and you're going to split them in half and you're going to put each half on each side, multiple animals, to create this row of animals in half with this path in between them. And so Abraham did just that. He started setting up this sacrifice. And he gets the sacrifice all set up, and wouldn't you know, some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. See, Abraham is believing God, trusting Him, moving to the next step, saying, okay, I don't know what's going to come next, but here's what you're telling me to do, so here's what I'm going to do. And he set up this sacrifice, and as soon as it gets set up, the vultures started coming in to try and eat the sacrifice he was setting up. And he had to fight them away and chase them away and keep them away from what he was doing for God. And this is the next point. When you're in transit, protect your sacrifice. If God calls you to do something, and He calls you and says, here's what I want you to do, and you do it, and you lay it before Him and say, I'm going to follow you, protect that. Honor that. Stick true to that. You will hear things in your life. You will hear Satan speaking into your head, whispering into you of you're all alone in this. Where's God in this situation? And it's all for nothing. You're going to sit there and be attacked, maybe by other people saying, this is just dumb. But if you know that you've been called by God and you believe in His promises, then protect that sacrifice you've made. Protect it. Don't let Satan whisper into your ear that what you're doing isn't right. Don't let him whisper into you that saying, you're all alone in this. God doesn't care about you. You're all alone in this world. He's far away. He doesn't even care. He sat there and set it in motion and walked away. And it's just complete chaos. Everything you're doing is wrong. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him trying to ruin what you've got with God. Protect that sacrifice. Protect that choice you've made with him. We see right after Abraham fights off those vultures, that after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. See, right there at this place, God sets up a covenant with Abraham. This word covenant means an agreement together. And it's a binding agreement between two parties. It's actually a legal term, and this kind of covenant that was given was an if-then. If you do this, I will do this. If you're following me, I'm going to set this up. That's what the old covenant was. But this particular one was even more than saying, I'm making a covenant with you. This is going to happen no matter what. This is going to happen no matter what. I'm promising you, your descendants will have this nation. No matter what else happened. You've already been faithful. I'm not requiring more. I'm telling you what's going to happen now. And how a covenant was set up in that day is you would have and you would sacrifice animals and you would split them in half, and the person making the covenant would walk in between the animals. And when you walk between, you were giving your very life to say, this is the promise I make, and if I break it, I will be like these animals, split in half and dead laying here. And you see that the fire pot and this torch of fire just walks through and goes through the middle of these covenants. Of God walking through the middle of these carcasses, walking through, saying, this is now a covenant between you and me. That I will bless you, that your descendants will have this country, that they will occupy this land, and that you will be made, they will be made great through your faithfulness. This is the covenant that God set up with Abraham that day. And it was a foreshadow of the covenant that he was going to set up with all of us and everyone in this room. A new covenant that once this old one was fulfilled and all these parts were done and God said, I fulfilled everything, there will be a new covenant with you. And this new covenant we can see in Mark 14, verses 23 through 24. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. This was the new covenant that God came to make with all of us. This covenant he had with Abraham, he completed it. He fulfilled it. And he said, now there's a new covenant with us. Covenant that we have together with him. This is the last point we have of when we go in transit. Is that if you have heeded the call of God on your life, if you've believed that God will protect you, if you believe his promises to you, if you've protected the sacrifice you've made and protected him working through you, then rely on the completed works of Jesus Christ. Rely on the completed works of Jesus Christ in your life. And those completed works are this, is that Jesus said, I will die so you can have everlasting life. I will take on your sins so you can be free from them. I will go through it alone so you won't have to. The completed works of Jesus Christ are making it so that we can have everlasting life, so that we have a new covenant that we can hold on to, just like Abraham held on to that covenant with God. And Jesus, when it was finished, he said, it is complete. It is done. And this is the covenant we have. This is the covenant we now have with Christ, is that we sit there and God goes, if you're going through tough times, guess what? Listen to my voice. Heed my voice. Believe in my promises. Protect the sacrifice you've made. And rely on the completed works that I've done. Not that you've done, but that I have done. So that when you are feeling alone, you realize you're not alone. That God is right there with you. When you're feeling hopeless, guess what? He brings hope. When you're hurting, he hurts with you. He knows our pain. It isn't just some random thing to him that he doesn't care about. He hurts when you're hurting because he cares for us, because he loves us. When you're feeling oppressed or depressed, he can lift you out of that. He's right there along with you, and he can lift you up with his comfort and his peace and his hope. And he can do this because guess what? He's already completed the covenant. He's already gone through the loss. He's already gone through the pain. He's gone through everything so you don't have to. So you can trust in him. So you can have his strength be your strength. So this new covenant that God has with us can be for you. Every single one of us in this room. No matter what situation we're going through. No matter what we're going through in life. And I know, because I talk to people, I know people are going through tough times in life, through difficult situations, through medical problems, through relationships, through addictions. all of us hurt in one way or another. But if you rely on God, you trust in Him, you believe His promises, and you follow Him, then you can believe that He has completed things already and that your life will be changed in Him. Let's go ahead and pray together. God, thank you that we could be here together today. Thank you that we could follow you, that you would make this new covenant with us, God. This covenant where we know that you have promised to give us everlasting life. All we have to do, God, is put our faith in you and you promised to live within us, to give us hope, peace, comfort, encouragement, joy, God, through all things. God, there are many people, many of us who are struggling, who are suffering, who are in transit right now, God. But through it all, you are still God. If we continue to listen to you and to follow you, God, we continue to keep our focus in the right place. Not on the things of this world, but on you, God, on kingdom of heaven, on your love in us. Lord, you have made a covenant. And when you speak, Lord, you are truth. And that means that covenant is truth through and through. So God, I pray that we call on you, that we have faith in you. We believe in your promises. We heed your word. And we know that things have been completed through you, God. Through nothing we could do, but through your love, through your sacrifice for us. God, I pray we hold strong to these truths, knowing we are not alone no matter what we're going through. We pray these things in your holy name.